My name is Simeon, and I am a servant of the Most High. Today is a great day, for it is a day that the Lord has made. All praises to the Lord on high. For today He has given me an amazing gift, a gift that it brings tears to my eyes. But first, I must start at the beginning, because that is always a very good place to start. It began many years ago when I was much younger. I was about 75. It has been almost 40 years to the day. At 113 years of age, the years tend to blend together. Yes, I did say that I was 113. Today, I just feel so much older for some reason. Older than yesterday, perhaps. But at my age, when the great, great grandchildren start making jokes about falafel and manna, all I can do is smile and remember when my own children, some of whom have actually passed on now, told me those very same jokes. Say, why should you avoid eating matzo ball sandwiches? Because after a few bites, they taste falafel. Yes. I know it wasn't very good when my children told it to me 80 years ago, but it still gets a smile. Now, what was I saying? Right. It's been almost 40 years since I was given an amazing gift. It was incredible. It is an incredible gift I've ever been given in all of my life until now. Those many years ago, I had come to the temple to offer prayers on behalf of my family and on behalf of my people, that Jehovah would send the Messiah. And as I prayed, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. Yes, the Spirit of the Lord came and told me that I would live to see the Messiah. I would not die until I have seen the Messiah. Oh, I remember as a young boy, I used to dream about being a great and proud man, but now all I dream about is the Messiah. Seeing Him. And for almost 40 years, I have made this trip to the temple every day, looking and waiting to see Messiah. Each day I have looked for Messiah. I have on a couple of times thought that it might be Him. But it wasn't. There was this man, he reminded me of King Saul. King Saul because he was at least a head taller than everyone else. And boy, that man was handsome. He was just like Saul, but he was not the one. For years, I have been the brunt of jokes of my family. They think I don't know they're laughing at me. It's just easier to pretend that I don't hear them. But they will know. My youngest son believes me because I have outlived so many people. That is my proof that I am not making up. They think that I am losing my mind. Perhaps I am. At least in some things. I just can't remember as well. But I have taught them that the Messiah is coming. And they believe it to be true. Now I have a friend and her name is Anna. Lovely lady. And she's been at the temple for the last 60 years or more. She lives and sleeps here. And the Lord has always provided for her. We often share lunch together as we both wait for the Messiah. She has been a widow for many years. Her husband, he passed away about 7 years after they were married. And since that time, she has lived here as a prophetess. She speaks the word of the Lord to the women and the men who will listen. Not too many men listen. But the respect of us older folks is not what it used to be. Two of us waited for the consolation of Israel that day. But I must focus on telling you what happened today. Today, a young couple came to the temple from Bethlehem. And this young couple made the short journey with their newborn son to fulfill the law. You see, the law requires that she be purified according to Leviticus. Your Bibles say chapter 12. There were a poor couple bringing the purification sacrifice of two doves. They had been wealthy enough that they would have bought a lamb, but they did not have that kind of money. And this sacrifice was to be made on her behalf, to be made clean, so that she could have her son consecrated and dedicated at the temple. And this young couple, Mary and Joseph, and their son, who was 40 days old, came to the temple. I was alone when they came. But as they came, I knew. The Spirit of God directed me towards them. There was no doubt that this was the Messiah. That the Messiah was here before me. And as I inquired to their names, the father Joseph spoke. And he introduced me to his betrothed, Mary. His betrothed. Was this some sort of sick joke? I was horrified at this fact. They were not married. This woman, the Messiah had been born of an adulterous woman? How could this be? Why would God Almighty do such a thing? No wonder her name was Mary. Mary, in fact, was a very good name for her. It means troubled and bitterness. Oh, the trouble this adulterous woman must have caused. And as these thoughts ran through my mind, and many of them, I am embarrassed to say I even thought, and I cannot share with you today. The Spirit of the Lord began to correct my thoughts. And the words of Isaiah, the prophet, came to my mind. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And then it made sense. Lord, forgive me for my thoughts and my attitude of disgust. Oh, poor Mary. That incredible young woman who must have endured immense troubles, been filled with bitterness because of the people who don't understand, the people who are just like me. Thank the Lord for showing me the truth. And now when I thought about Joseph, it took a moment to really understand who he was. Joseph was not actually the father. He is the adoptive father of the Messiah. He was taking on a very difficult role. And as I thought about it, I couldn't help but smile. Jehovah has such a sense of humor. Joseph means to add or increase. And the Messiah, born of a virgin, has two fathers. Two. One heavenly father and one earthly father. A heavenly father who is the actual father. Oh. And the earthly father who was added on as the adoptive father, Joseph. You guys don't get the puns, do you? This is hilarious. God has such a sense of humor. And as I looked into the eyes of this young couple who have come to fulfill the law regarding their son, I began to understand what Jehovah has done. And I realized that the prophecy must be seen in new light. The birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem, born of a virgin from the line of David, which was proven by them being by him being born in Bethlehem for the Roman census that was called. God is good. And when I saw the baby that Joseph and Mary brought to the temple, I knew that this was not just any infant. Now, Jesus did not have a halo. No, the pictures I hear you guys see all this time have halo. There was no halo. No, he looked just like any other baby boy. But God revealed to me that this was the Messiah. And so I took him and I put him in my arms. And I said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel. I could tell that when Mary and Joseph heard these words, they marveled at what was said about him. And Mary and Joseph knew there is something very special about their son. The miraculous virgin conception, the visits of the angels had not been forgotten. But it's still sinking in who this Jesus really is. Can you even begin to imagine being the mother of Messiah? The responsibility of being the parents who raised him. After nearly 40 years of coming to the temple every day, my eyes had fallen on the baby who was to save the world. I now can die in peace. I am ready to die, for I have seen the salvation of Yahweh. And not only seen the salvation of Yahweh, I have held the Messiah in my very own arms. Because of this little child, Gentiles will see the light, and he will be the glory for every Israelite. Had I not been in such awe, I would have felt a little bit silly. For 40 years, I looked for a full-grown man. A full-grown man. I'm not sure what I was thinking. But in hindsight, which is always perfect, I realized that the next words I spoke were the Spirit of the Lord speaking through me. And I spoke to Mary and I said, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And as I ponder those words, I realize that they will add to her and Joseph bitterness and difficulties. I revealed to her in more detail what Jesus' role as a Messiah will include. I told Mary that Jesus would not receive a hero's welcome as the Messiah. For most Jews expect, like I did, a full-grown man. A full-grown man. Full-grown man. They expected him to be a full-grown man who was a political leader, a king, to bring an uprising, to destroy the Roman occupation. It's what I expected. It's what I had wanted. If Jesus had done that, he would have been crowned King of Israel and had the highest popular rating ever. But this will not be the case. Jesus, he will actually be very controversial. Conflict-ridden Messiah. He will raise up those who trust him, but be a stumbling block for those who oppose him. Yes, many will love Jesus the Messiah, but others will hate him. He will eventually, his opponents will kill him, in fact. A sword will pierce your own soul. Two. This means that both Joseph and Mary will suffer. However, despite these dark days, what is important is that this baby is indeed the Messiah. Yahweh kept his promise. Jesus, this child, has come to save his people from their sins. This is good news of great joy. Yes? Amen. I could not imagine any privilege greater than seeing the Messiah that Jehovah has sent. The dream the Lord had given me had come true. But Jehovah did more than just allow me to see him. I held him in my arms. I cradled him like I did my own children and grandchildren. That short experience that I had, I will never forget. For now I have seen with my own eyes. I have touched him with my hands. I know Jesus the Messiah. Yahweh has done exceedingly abundantly, far beyond all I could ever ask or even think. And with that, I declare that he is faithful, ever so faithful, I declare. Now, Lord, dismiss or release your servant in peace according to your word. My life, it is complete, fulfilled. I have experienced everything I desire. I have seen Jesus the Messiah. I have everything. I want nothing more. Because this is the perfect peace of this Christmas season. Maybe you have known someone who was so discouraged that life didn't seem worth living. That person felt so empty that he or she didn't want to go on living. Or maybe the death of someone close to you, a broken relationship, a tragedy, a has caused you yourself to pray, Lord, let me die. Take me home. Life is more than I can handle. But this is not my case. No. I am totally opposite of that. For my life is so filled with peace and contentment. I know that anything else which will ever happen to me will not even come close to the ultimate experience that I have just had. I've just held the Son of God. God's own Son, the promised Messiah in my arm. I have held Him. Nothing else matters. Because I know the Messiah, the Savior, has come. I truthfully say, when you've known and have said, Jesus is my Messiah, you have said it all. Knowing Jesus is the ultimate experience of life, nothing in this world even comes close to matching that. He is worth more than everything on this planet. He is worth more than everything in this universe. So I am told that for you, just over 2,000 years have passed since this day. Since I saw Jesus in the temple. But no matter how much time has passed, there are two very important lessons that you must learn. The first lesson is this. Do not be content to go through life without Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus is more important than anything we can imagine. Yet it is a dream within our grasp. All we need to do is to turn to Jesus, to trust Him as our Lord and Savior. And He will bring about an incredible peace in your life. I see that you have the banner. The banner in this very sanctuary declaring Him Prince of Peace. And in a very real way, my dream can come true in each of our lives. Each of you can know the Prince of Peace personally. We can have a relationship with Jesus as our friend, our brother, our Savior, our Lord and King. All we need to do is receive the gift of salvation that is graciously offered. To receive the hope. To receive the peace of Jesus, our Messiah. I don't know what your dreams in life has been. Maybe you're like my one son who wants to make lots of money. Or to be successful in your career. Some of you have this dream house. Or a cabin on the lake. Perhaps you're saving up money to build something like this one day. Others, perhaps you just want to raise a family which you can be proud of. Some of you kids, perhaps your dreams are to do well in sports or to play on some championship team or be in the, what is this, the NFL thing? Whatever. Is that the National Falafel League? I could like that. Perhaps schooling and learning is what your dream is. To go to college, to be a Nobel Peace Prize winner. There is nothing wrong with these dreams. Nothing wrong as long as they don't prevent us from experiencing the great joy in life that comes from knowing Jesus. Because if we fulfill every other dream we have without Jesus, it will mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. There is a God-shaped hole in each and every one of us that none of these dreams can fulfill, but God alone can fill. The second lesson is that if we don't know, that if we do know Christ, we should be content. Perhaps the only thing more foolish than being content without Christ is to know Jesus the Messiah and not be content. It makes no sense to be a Christian but think that true fulfillment and joy is found elsewhere. In fact, it would be quite ridiculous for someone who knows Jesus Christ to decide that what he really needs, what will really make him happy, is not his relationship with Christ, but with something else. We need to realize that nothing in life is more important. Nothing is more fulfilling. Nothing in life can bring us greater hope, peace, joy, and love. Nothing than our relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I'm not saying that those other things don't matter. But God has given us responsibilities at home, at work, at school, and He wants us to devote ourselves to fulfill those. But He wants us to be involved in the lives of our family, of our friends. But we must always remember that nothing is more important than our relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing. And because of that, we spend time cultivating that relationship by studying God's Word, by praying and worshiping Him. Yes, there are many things that we can desire and enjoy, and that is fine, but we need to realize that if all we had was Jesus, He would be enough. With Jesus, our life is complete, and we can be content. The question this morning that I must ask each of you: are you finding peace in the greatest gift that God has ever given? Does Jesus coming mean more to you than anything else in your life? For the best way to celebrate Christmas is to embrace Jesus as Messiah, to give thanks to God for what He has done, to find joy in the greatest gift that God has given, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we humbly come before Your throne, our hearts are filled with awe and wonder and gratefulness that You sent Your Son, Your one and only Son, to come and be our Messiah. That You loved us so much that You gave up everything to have Your Son come as a baby. Such incredible love. Such incredible hope that we have in you because of it. Such incredible peace. Father God, we pray that we would never forget this. And that because of this, our lives would be changed. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.